Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Brent, looking back at last week, you needed about 100 things to go your way to win the game, and once you know it, all 100 happened. I realize there's no answer to this question, but if 99 of them happen, do you win that game?
You know, I don't even know what to say. A lot of the dominoes, like you said, had to fall in the right order, and I don't know. I mean, looking back, and I say this a lot, it shouldn't come down to certain plays or certain drives. Realistically, we left some points out there on offense. I get a hard time adapting to what we were doing, which I would have too, because we threw a new offense at them. But we just had some turnovers in the middle of part of the second and third quarter, or really third quarter, and then we had to let them score at the end of the game, and then we had to get the big drive. And yeah, I would say the probability of us doing that in those conditions with who was out there would have been pretty low. But lo and behold, give credit to the kids. They found a way to get it done.
At what point was the decision to go for two made?
Before we even got the ball back, to be honest with you, I just told the kids, I told the coaches, I'm like, right about when we let them score, I'm like, hey, you're going to score. You guys are going to have to go for two anyway, so get your two-point play. So, like, we got it. And, Schulze, we work on those things forever, and we haven't been using all of them. That was really the first one of maybe seven or eight that we've worked on for, honestly, probably for a couple of years. So there's a few bullets in the chamber still that we'll probably have to bust out this year. But, yeah, I mean, it was a miracle in a way.
We'll get back to letting them score. I've heard that Mikael Harn didn't even necessarily know what the play was coming out of the huddle. Is that true?
Don't honestly know. I hope that's not the case. But, I'm sure he hasn't been a kid that's practiced that a lot. I mean, we've been using it with Jalen and Sherrod probably more. Obviously, Jalen wasn't available, and Mikael ended up getting the nod over Sherrod. And not that Sherrod's a bad football player. We've had a little bit. And we got two brand new quarterbacks in there working mesh with all those guys. So we need to get Sherrod back in and get him going. But I don't know. If he didn't know, he must have known something that he had to chuck it up there at the end, or he was just like throwing up a Hail Mary. But it would have been a lot easier if Matt, when he got tripped up, he'd have been wide open on the play. But the way it worked, it almost looked intentional. So I shouldn't have let the rabbit out of the hat a little bit and kept it in there. But yeah, it was a crazy, crazy luck that got even crazier, and somehow ball fell in Matt Gross's hands.
As a competitor, how difficult is that decision of let them score?
You know, Coach Bish has now done it three times in his life and won all three games. So he made the comment, and then we were arguing back and forth during the timeout with like a minute 30 to go about what to do. And we have these sheets sitting right here on my desk about going over scenarios with two timeouts and how many seconds. It's not easy, so we just put it down and have that at our fingertips. And I kept staring at it. I'm like, well, we're gonna get the ball back, but it would have been 90 yards and 15 seconds probably. So I was like, took the timeout and looked at him. I'm like, guys, you gotta trust me, we gotta let them score. I'm like, whatever, even if they're trying to take a knee, pick him up, haul him in, didn't matter at that point. I don't know what the officials would have done. Maybe ask you. I don't know. If they would have picked him up and carried him in the end zone, I don't know what would have happened. But luckily, Augie obviously must not have been thinking that far ahead or thinking that they needed to get the score. And they missed the extra point, and the rest is history.
At one point, it was 3-2. How does that change the makeup of the rest of the game when – you're constantly asking yourself, are we going for one or going for two the next time you score?
Yeah, you look at that sheet quite a bit, and we have that, if you're up by a certain amount or down by a certain amount. I'm a firm believer in just taking points. I don't really look at it too much in the first half. But given the scenario, just how hard it was, and two really good defensive teams going at it, Augie is really good on D. Points were at a premium, and we gave him the two on, the botch snap, or really just catching the ball on snake, and the conditions got away from him. But thankfully, we learned by watching Sioux Falls not, grab the ball and get on it in the end zone. Sioux Falls kid tried to run it out, got tackled at the two, and then they scored a touchdown instead of getting two. So I'm glad that, and we talked about that with snake in pregame and during the week too. So it was, make best of a bad situation, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. And then, yeah, it was just weird. It felt like I was playing baseball. You know, I looked up and it was like 3-2 in the middle of the fifth inning or something. But it was a workout on the coaches, that's for sure. And it was an interesting game. I really don't know if I've ever coached anything quite like it before.
I have to imagine that Emmett Enright grew up a whole lot on that last drive. It's got a unique story of how we got here in the first place to where he is right now. And you kind of walk the listeners through his time here.
Yeah, you know, Emmett was really recruited by the previous staff a little bit, you know, and so when Coach Pike got here, you know, Emmett had a year off from football in the middle. So he came in redshirted, was on the scout team, never really traveled, never really played, then got the opportunity, you know, to be on the scout team and then was off the team for a year, came back in the spring and, you know, was just kind of biding his time. He was questioning whether or not he was going to stick with it. He had Brandon in front of him. He had Jared in front of him. Even when Alec Ogden was here, I'm sure the depth chart was pretty daunting at that point. But give the kid credit. He fought through, you know, made the decision to stay and make the best of the scenario and accepted his role. And roles change. I mean, just like we always talk about in blink of an eye, you can have an injury. You can go from, you know, third to first. And so he kind of the man up mentality. And boy, he did grow up quite a bit. He had a little bit of that deer in the headlight look at the beginning of the game. And boy, he got walloped on that last drive. Maybe that knocked the nerves out of him when they got the personal foul. And they certainly helped us a couple times too. But he really did make some good throws and really good decisions for the most part. The only one that I wish we had back was when we burned the timeout on the 5-yard out. I don't know what Augie was doing. I thought, not bashing their coaches, but how do you let us get out of bounds four times actually, and then the personal fouls. You say what you want. They're both legit. I mean, they're both way after the play. And they helped us out there, but we were still in a scenario where, you know, we had a chance to, even without the penalties, to move down the field, but should have scored on the play before. But after everything happened, I'm pretty grateful that we only gave him 4 seconds because, you know, you get the, you know, excessive celebration, which was probably just as much as on the coaches. We were on the field too, as the players, but then we're kicking off from our 20. I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to get the ball at the 50. And the kid had a strong leg. I was thankful when they hopped on the ball and we were able to play prevent and to get out of there with a win.
More with Coach Bolte when we return. Pregame show continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. On to our weekly MASH report. How's the healthier team right now?
No, not bad. We did have one injury during the game to one of our linebackers, so we'll see. His scenario didn't look very good, so he'll probably be out for a while. And the guys that have been out, we're hoping to get some guys back. So I think Jalen Fry would be available. I think Lucas Ross, I always call him Swiss. I think he'll be back. And so for the most part, we're getting back. I think our center situation will maybe got some good news. I think Frankfurth might be back sooner than later. Maybe not this week, but so that'd be helpful. But boy, Gannon really played well for a true freshman at center. You didn't really see very many mistakes out of him. And the best thing about an O-lineman when you're unnoticeable at times, you don't have to dominate, but he was in against some grown men in there. So I was very proud of him. So yeah, we had some guys step up, but yeah, for the health wise, we're starting to mend a little bit.
Just got done with an interview with Gunnar Feldhage. Unprovoked, he kind of brought up a big win last year over Sioux Falls, and then you stub your toe against Upper Iowa the week after. That tells me that point has been brought up by the coaching staff this week, correct?
Oh, yeah. I've been coaching for quite a while, and that was probably the worst loss I've had ever. Ace in front of my friends and family back in Iowa, which I wanted to win so bad. And we played absolutely horrendously, and our kids were not locked in. And I looked back, I mean, as a coach, you got to look in the mirror first and not blame the kids. So I take the responsibility of getting our guys ready to go, and we were not. And it was a homecoming. It's very eerily similar. I mean, it's Southwest homecoming this year. We're coming off a big win over a team from Sioux Falls on our homecoming. So, yeah, I think that was probably the first thing out of my mouth on Sunday was, hey, congratulations. But, oh, by the way, don't forget about recent history here.
To let the listeners know, we recorded this interview on Tuesday, so it's always a little bit of a guess as to what the weather is going to be like come game time when this interview airs. But There's a pretty good chance there's going to be some snow coming up this weekend. As a road team, what do you guys have to do logistically to make sure you've got everything you're going to need on that bus with you when you leave?
Yeah, you know, our younger coaches get the privilege to make sure they got everything. But we take our, you know, we got the road coats, the sideline coats, and then we just tell the guys, hey, you know, bring multiple layers so you can take things on and off. We've had, you know, to be honest with you, we've gone through this almost every week with weather. Being home or away, it's just been a very odd year. Outside of the first game, to be honest with you, it's been rain or thunderstorms or whatever, monsoons over in Crookston. And yeah, speaking of Crookston, they're moving their game to Alaris. I'm like, hey, thanks, by the way. We got to play in the Mud Bowl, and they're playing Sioux Falls in the Alaris. And I have to talk to Duffner on that one. But getting back to the equipment, we just basically have a checklist that everybody has, and we make that available to the players and coaches. So that's what we have to do. But something about it, like, I think it helps us right now, and we've changed. We've gone back to like 2010 football, where we're controlling the clock, relying on our offensive line and defense to win games. Our special teams gave us a chance to win the game. Mikey Junker had a big kickoff return. We had a really nice punt return that got called back, which was unfortunate on a holding, which was a holding. And then, you know, Hofer doinking the field goals, getting the extra points. I thought Riggs Tamburo, our holder, was outstanding. There were some high snaps with the elements. He's really good at that. He's also our backup kicker and punter. So I really thought that was, throughout the course leading up to this game, I thought, or, you know, coming into Augie, that we had been average on those special teams. And Snake averaged, I think, 47 yards a punt or 48. And then the kickoff coverage and everything was good. So I thought, on a piece of paper going in, I thought Augie had that advantage, and now I thought we did coming off after that game. It was a pretty big one our way, but looking at the elements for Southwest is what it is. I think we're, yeah, I said we're a mutter team or whatever. It kind of looks like that now, so hopefully it's not too bad, and we'll go out there and bang away.
Southwest has struggled. What part of their game scares you a little bit?
You know, the weird thing is they're 2-3 right now. They have struggled just producing points. At one point, they were last in the country in rushing and last in the country in yards given up rushing. Usually doesn't equate to winning very many games. Last week they played their best game, so they've won their last two. In another week they lost in overtime to Wayne, and Wayne's actually got a pretty nice ball club. They've really improved, so it's maybe a little deceiving, but they've had a lot of injuries too. Their top quarterback's been out. They've had to shuffle guys through the O-line, so I think they've matured a little bit, kind of like we have. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good game. I hope it comes out in our favor, but we need to go down and perform at a high level to get this one.
Best of luck.
I appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.